Jesus, your name. Well, I was thinking about Mother's Day, and I had the privilege of attending a birth mother's dinner on Friday night that was sponsored by New Life Family Services. And this was their 13th year. And what was such a blessing to me that so many young women and older women that had given the gift of life to their child and chose adoption over abortion. And I just thank God for each one of them, and I'm remembering them today too. It was a blessing to many families, I'm sure, that received these children and the sacrifice that those moms made. So.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. I want to tell you a story of a person who gave such great thanks for their mother. This person is Charles Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. He said of his mother, "Sunday nights we'd sit around the table and she'd share the scripture. She'd open it up and she would explain it to us, and then she'd pray. And her prayers were remarkable." He remembered one of them particularly. "Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Jesus Christ." I was going to have this at a later part in the message, but if you're here today and you're a mother, maybe your children are away from the Lord, I just believe the Lord wants to tell you today that it isn't your fault. If you gave them the gospel, you gave them the word of God, you prayed and you're still praying, and you love your children, and God knows that. The Bible's very clear that the child makes their own choice as the parents make theirs. But if you're here and it's just a special ache in your heart on Mother's Day, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today because you, unlike anyone even in this room, understands the ache of your children that are astray. You created us with a free will, and in giving that gift, there is always, Lord, the potential that one will make a choice to walk away from you. Father, we do pray for every child that's represented by the hands that are lifted today, that you would woo them back into your love and grace, which never changed, and that you would bring them, Lord, to that place of safety in Jesus Christ. But I also pray for these dear mothers, that you would lift any guilt that they feel, that, Father, you would just remind them that this is that partnership between them and you are on the job, and your Holy Spirit knows how to speak to people. Lord, children, adults, whomever it might be, I just ask today, Lord, for that ache to be gone and the joy of the Lord to be filling that spot. Lord Jesus, give the enemy no place to wound the mothers that pray. Oh God, and we continue to pray and trust you, Lord, for your best, because that's the only kind of thing that you hand out. Lord, you never give second best. You always give the best, because that's you. And I pray, Father, your blessing upon these mothers today. Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. How many here are literalists in the Bible, meaning that you believe everything in the Bible is literal? Okay. Hopefully we're aware enough that the bulk of it is literal. Real people, real times, real nations, real situations. The most important thing, a real Savior, a real God who came to live in this earth and who's coming again, and that's real. And that is going to be more real than anybody could ever imagine. But there are portions of Scripture that if you look at them exactly the way they're written, they would be confusing to you. Okay? So I chose a Scripture. Maybe you've never read it. Maybe. Could be. Maybe it's never occurred to you. It's occurred to me, and I'm going to ask you to stand while we read it. 1 Timothy. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Please be seated. Now, I got to tell you, if by chance that you are a literalist, and you would take that scripture exactly the way it's written, exactly how you read it, with exactly that expectation, then the pastor that stands before you is not saved. Okay? I've never had a child. I've been a child. I plan to continue being a child. If we take it literally, women of all ages, of all generations, would look at that like I did the first time I read it decades ago and would think, oh my gosh, that's what salvation is? I've got to have children? I can barely take care of my own life. Aren't you glad God has a wider zoom lens in the Word of God? Because this scripture, which is a very interesting scripture, does include women and it includes men. And it is talking about salvation, but not in that sense about women. Because otherwise, of course, none of us would be saved. This was a book written by Paul to his protege, Timothy. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:5, he talks about the faith of his mother, of Timothy's mother and grandmother, and how influential it was in his life, in Timothy's life. He was raised by women. So he would have a real sense of the importance of their contribution and the prayers and the faith and the life that they lived before him. This was important to Paul to point out to Timothy. So this verse may have been kind of interesting for Timothy. He may have thought, what does this mean? Seems a little odd to me. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad occasionally the Lord puts something in I don't understand, because if I don't understand it, maybe I'll go deeper and find out what God's word is. And I'll say, you know, Lord, I guess I need to include some other thought process here to really gauge what we're talking about. Okay? First of all, the background of this portion. It is about a birth that's going to happen that's going to undo the curse of women, of womankind. And you remember when that started? In the Garden of Eden. That was a garden that didn't see snow, so it didn't ruin all their flowers like is happening probably this year partly. And Eve, I always like that name. By the way, I didn't put it in the study notes, but it means to breathe and to live. That's what the name Eve means. And so Marianne Barnett, in my favorite verse, that the evening and the morning are the first or second day, meaning that the day started at the evening, looking toward that next light. Actually, Eve, when she was deceived and this whole sin came in, brought what? Darkness. The shade went down on life with God. It went all the way down. And the Bible said in the Old Testament in Genesis, along with it, women would be in submission to their husbands. That means to me that prior to that, they weren't. She wasn't. That's the way I read it. And that means in the original creation of man and woman, there was no curse. Okay? So, when God created man, and the Bible says in the image of God, male and female created he them, prior to them being in the garden, prior to a domestic life, they were equal. They would have been. Remember, she wasn't created from the head to be above, nor from the feet to be below. And that is the spiritual state of man and woman, actually. And it always will be in God's sight. Now, the great part in this, I love the fact that the Lord, anytime that there's a problem, he has a solution ahead of time. He didn't wait for the problem to have a solution. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis, talking right to the serpent. When's the last time you talked to a serpent? The only thing they ever hear from us is, ah! Have you ever seen one? But here, God says, you are cursed because you've deceived her, because of what you've done. And the Bible says to the serpent, you will crawl on your belly in the dust, the very substance of which God created man. And every time he crawls, he'll be thinking, God redeemed man. God created him out of the dust. And you know, if he's crawling and the judgment is that he's crawling, you do know that he probably had feet prior, right? The serpent probably had feet. Not as big and formidable as the Tyrannosaurus Rex, but he probably had feet. And God took his standing right out from underneath him. I love that. Because in Christ, he gave us a standing. He changed it. Okay. So he's got to crawl. And that's why you don't see them sitting up doing the can-can. Because they can't. They can't. Yeah. It's sad. So now the word studies in this great verse. In the Greek, we just read this, the verse. It says, women will be saved in childbearing. In the Greek, women is not mentioned. It's understood. Not that you care, but I'm telling you. But it says, they will be saved. And this Greek word means to save, to heal, and rescue from danger. From so-so. From the penalty and power of sin. The penalty, what was the penalty here? The curse upon woman. Not one woman, but womankind. Personally, when I look down through the history, there's only one person in history that ever elevated women, and it was Jesus Christ. There's no other religious system that does. There's no other belief system that does. Jesus did. He elevated women back to where he created them. Are you happy about that, ladies? Yes. And by the way, it doesn't mean you're above any man either. It means, and Mary Ann's going, darn. Means we are on one threshold. So he says, you've been saved through something. The word through, dia, is the same word we get diameter or diagram. It means through and around. There's a certain vessel, a certain way that this salvation came. And the interesting word that's going to come up here is when it talks about the childbearing. In the Greek, it says the childbearing, not just childbearing. Here it says, but women will be saved through childbearing. It sounds like women will be saved through having children. The actual Greek is, but women as a group, as a total group, will be saved through the childbearing. There's a certain child that is born that is going to redeem women from the curse, that is going to bring salvation to this world. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about childbearing in general. It's talking about the childbirth, the child that comes forth, this one that is brought. This Greek word comes from the word geno, the root, which is where we get the word genealogy, your family tree, which I know has a lot of nuts in it. Your descendant line. And a few fruits. No, I'm kidding. But that's what this is talking about, to give you a new family, a new DNA. How many are glad you have a new DNA in Christ? You kidding? My DNA is so shot, it's terrible. I don't even look at it. But God's DNA is different. It changes everything. You know, what was does not have to be, because God can undo it. I've got cancer on every side of my family, so many sides that it's just one big C. So I chose a C for Christ, because he's my future. God has a different idea. The childbearing. What child? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? From one mother to another mother, Mary, who, by the way, didn't understand what was happening in her either. Why this was important? To remind women of the freedom in Christ, because, as it said in the prior verse here, that Eve was beguiled. And this Greek word is in the first aorist. What it means is it has rippling effects all the way down the line. One little deception. Oh, did God really say that? That's the whole meat of what happened in the garden. Is what did God say? The devil gets you to wonder, doesn't he? Has he ever worked on you this week, for instance, and said, did God really say that? Are you supposed to trust that? Oh, that can't be for you. You know, that's what he does. It was a deception. But let me remind you this, folks. Theologically, though Eve was deceived and took the fruit when she gave it to her husband, he's the one who transgressed. He was the one who disobeyed, because God spoke to him. That's why Jesus is the second Adam. He's not the second Eve. He's the second Adam. So as much as there's a great understanding in domestic life of the submission to the husband, which I believe in and I agree with, there's also greater responsibility on the man. And if you're a man, you know that. To be who God wants you to be, so your wife can be free to be who God wants her to be. That's how it's supposed to work. But sin actually came through Adam. Everybody squawks about Eve, and she was deceived, that's true. She saw what looked interesting. It was desired. She made a choice with her eyes instead of with her spirit. But the man is the one who chose it. And sin came through him. So it had to come, the answer had to come through a male, Jesus Christ. I'm so glad. He's the kind of male that actually arrives at your home, unlike some of the U.S. mail that doesn't. I mailed a card this many years ago, and it came back in the mail 3 years later. I couldn't believe it. It was a sympathy card on top of it. Got the bottom of the bag got stuck, I guess. So now I always double check. Not because I'm looking for thanks, but because I want to make sure the postal system did their job. But this is a mail delivery, I'm telling you, that was fabulous. So we have a background, we have a foreground, now we have grace bound. This scripture goes on here to say, but women will be saved through the childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. This cannot be about the salvation of sin for women, because if it was, it's based on works. Did you catch that? If then is a clause of works. Salvation is what? By grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man or woman should boast. It cannot be about women have to be saved through this way. That would be wrong. However, it is talking about womankind in domestic life as God has freed them through the cross and through the Son and through that birth to live a life continued in faith, love, and holiness, a word we don't hear much. I mean, I know we're supposed to hear it in the Wesleyan Church, but you don't hear it a lot anywhere. People's idea of holiness sometimes is what you wear. No, holiness is what wears you, is what's in your soul. And then it flows out from there. That's the way it's supposed to work anyway. Salvation by grace comes through our life, and then it changes our behavior, how we act. And it lists faith first, which is important. Because if we're not operating in life out of faith, and faith in people, and faith in God, then we're going to have works. And then we're going to be upset that people don't maybe live the way we want them to, or whatever the case might be. But it says if they continue in love, in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. The word propriety here in the Greek, it actually is the same root as the word wisdom, which I didn't put up there, but the word sophron means true moderation and soundness of mind. Remember, Eve was deceived in her mind, right? The Lord wants to free us so that we can make good decisions in our mind. And that's for men and women, by the way. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? A sound mind. You know what sound means? It means whole and complete, not just part there. But if there's hurt and there's bad memories or things like that, they have a tendency to squash out the soundness, that which is whole. And the Lord wants to make you every whit what? Whole. Do you know how wholeness comes, by the way? Story in the New Testament. This ain't even in my notes. This is extra. It's about the lepers. The one who gave thanks, the Lord made him every whit whole. Thankfulness is the key to Christian life scripturally. Now, does it mean you have to like it all the time? Nope. But it does mean we need to have a thankful spirit. And that means we know we don't deserve it, but we thank God or whomever for whatever that they have given. It says here, but womankind will be rescued. There is nobody in the world that has elevated women like Jesus did. I don't understand why women follow any other belief system, personally. You want to be eternally pregnant? Join the Mormons. You want to be behind your house and inside your house, totally controlled? You can't even do anything? Join a number of other groups. You want to be free? You want to know who you are as a person? You find that in Jesus Christ. He had women that followed with him. He couldn't live in the same place because that would be improper, but they followed with him. He allowed that. So did Paul. And it's a good idea because women do a good portion of the service in churches and in life. I'm so glad the Lord lifts us up and doesn't tear us down. And I know especially after women's lib, it probably got a little bit more sticky. But let's remember that Jesus liberated us long time before that. That's not our liberation. Our liberation is in Jesus. And that's what you should take home. I was reading a couple stories, since Harvey was talking this morning, about his mother. This was a tribute by an individual who said, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I would never have become what I became. Because I was always a careless boy, with a mother of different mental caliber I probably would have turned out badly. But her firmness, goodness, were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. So said Thomas Edison. Without the love of his mother and the strong but firm hold protecting him and reminding him that even though he was careless, you can make something of yourself, young boy, he would have been in the dark. And so perhaps would we. I know, it just slides right over you, don't it? We're talking about women praying. Mother's prayers. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing my mother prayed for me. I never asked her. Never occurred to me. I figured she just prayed that I wouldn't end up in prison someday. But other than that, I never asked. Wish I would have. But here's a story of a lady and her husband were believing Christians, and they worshiped in the Protestant Episcopal Church. And from her dying lips came a prayer, heard by her husband and the other members of the family. And the prayer was this, that the new arrival might become a preacher of the gospel. That was her heart's cry as she lay dying. So her dying request was kept a secret. Why? Didn't want to influence. Wanted to see if it came to pass without any coercion. That would be my interpretation. So, and only after Cyrus, you gotta love that name, had become a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and had received a definite call to devote his life to the Christian ministry, was he told of this touching prayer, which was so graciously answered. He remembered from his earliest childhood that his father read the Bible to him and to his family, and thus in his young life was sown the seed of the Word of God, which he later would be in service himself. That is Cyrus Scofield, if you've ever read the Scofield Bible. God answers mother's prayers. He does. But he also liberates women from the things that weigh down. Because he wants us all to be in liberty, right? That's why he died for us. But women will be saved through the childbearing. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest birth in history and the only one that makes a difference to us. And the Bible said in Genesis, and your seed, the seed of the woman, will do what? Crush his head. Not only is the devil going to be crawling around in the very dust that God used to create man, he's going to take his head off. Do you realize everything the devil does is by reaction? He has no thought process. His head's been crushed. He's been totally destroyed. But his body's still moving, so people think he's really, really alive. He's not. He's just that little aggravated thing you just want to knock. Okay? But it would bruise the heel of the Savior. Where there's bruising, there's bloodshed. There's blood flow on the cross. I'm so grateful that we have a literal God who literally went to the cross to liberate men and women. Because the liberation of women should not demean men. And every man said, amen. Okay? Should be mutual love, mutual respect, and we all look to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord Jesus, that your word is a fascinating, fascinating treatise of both history and future, of both poetry and reason, of nations and individuals, and most importantly, the lordship and the honoring of that birth, Jesus Christ, that freed women from the curse that was upon them, to be who God created them to be, and not be diminished, nor should the men be diminished. Lord, may we all walk together, looking to our Savior and lifting you up. And I pray for any women in this place that feel crushed of spirit, that God, you would touch them. The enemy's already been crushed. He has no power to crush anyone else. So I pray that you would liberate, unlock, heal painful memories, whatever they might be. And Father, may we walk in freedom today, because, oh God, you birth new life, a new day for each one of us. And we are so grateful, and we can never thank you enough. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, we can live as one who's been forgiven. Let's close with that hymn.
Please stand.
Think on Mother's Day that I might ask a lady to come up and close in prayer. Then they won't like me. I'm kidding. I'm actually going to ask Bobby Lucan to come up and to close in prayer.
Let us pray. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for mothers. We thank you for Mary, the mother of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with the mothers today, with the mothers who do not have their children with them. Give them a peace. Let them know that the children care, Lord. Guide our paths. Be with us through this week and bring us back next Sunday to your blessed house of worship. Be with us through the week. And Lord, give us that strength to witness and be soldiers for your army, Lord, to lift you up when we have problems. We just pray that You would give us the strength to speak out in your name. Guide our feet, guide our paths this week, Lord. In thy precious name we pray. Amen.